Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home, or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
John and Lance.
Drunk and stabbed. Yeah. That's a bad combination.
Yeah.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN. Brian McTaggart's being petty today.
What?
Checking in on former Astros. Kyle Tucker, 236, a 102 OPS plus. Bregman, he puts all their stats out there.
I did that.
Five homers.
I checked in on my scrubs 2 days
Springer,
ago.
Springer, a 72 OPS plus. He's hitting 202. George is hitting 202.
Checking out. Why did George get it?
I don't know. George
like 50 Cent. Why does he?
Mauricio, 50? Sanchez. And then he quote tweets it. Christian Walker has more homers than Tucker, Bregman, and Springer combined.
Yeah, that's just petty.
It is petty. That's petty. What I'm saying. Come on, McTaggs. You're better than that.
But I respect it.
Yeah. But what did George do?
George didn't.
What did George do?
He's
George
been gone a long time, too. He didn't do anything. He's just checking in.
Is that an attack?
He's just asking
George
questions.
Went to the World Series last year.
Is he calling out like
he's
the fans?
He's asking questions.
Is he just calling out the fans who complain about Astros leaving? Is that what he is?
He's just checking in.
Because
why
does George have to catch?
He's just doing a check-in. That's all it was.
George is an innocent bystander struggling up in Canada.
Just taking shots. Mm-hmm.
That's true. It was Astros lose last night, but that's not the real story. The real story is Dusty Baker's book came out. And Rock, our guy Steve Rockford, who is a college basketball coach with Buzz Williams, he is working on getting Dusty for us. He's friends with Dusty
Baker. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so Rock's reaching out and goes, what's your radio station, all that stuff? ESPN.
ESPN.
Yeah, I hope Dusty didn't like hear or see anything at the wrong time. But Greg Rajan read his book from the Houston Chronicle, and he kind of headlines some of the stuff that was in it in an article in the Chronicle. It's a good article. And it's called Crossroads, a Memoir in Baseball and Life. And that he wrote with former San Francisco Chronicle writer Steve Kettman. It comes out, it came out yesterday, over 416 pages. Maybe I'll get my wife, since she thinks she's better than everybody because she reads. She's currently on War and Peace.
She's reading War and Peace?
Yeah, it's been going on for 3 months. It's a long process, but she reads three books at the same time.
Mm.
So she reads. She even hit me with the other day. At least I read. The other day, she thought she had a sick burn on me when we were in an argument about something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, whatever. You know how many series I get through by the time you finish one book?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he, you know, a lot of it just talks about Dusty's life, but in terms of how it relates to the Houston Astros, he said, it felt like one of those junctures in my life where all the background and experience had uniquely prepared me to be the right manager for the Astros and for baseball. It felt like I'd been chosen for this when he got hired by the Astros.
He was the right guy.
Yeah, I think he really was.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I felt like a substitute teacher, like an outsider filling in for A.J. Hinch, you know, in the 2020 American League Championship Series in his first season. He said, next season, my players and I warmly embraced each other in 21, and they made me feel like one of them. And he did talk about, that he said, I was 73 years old enough to have learned to remember what you learned. Hank Aaron taught me that you won in baseball by trusting your feelings. I was going to trust my feelings in this series. I was going to manage with my mind, my heart, and my faith. And we would see how it all turned out. Jim Crane trusted me and trusted my judgment, as well as the baseball mind surrounding me. Jeff Bagwell, Enos Cabell, Craig Biggio, and Reggie Jackson. There's like none of those guys left anymore. There were discussions among some of the front office scouts and sabermetrics people on who should play and who should not play. And who should bat where in the lineup? That's when I went on my faith. I know I should have done some things differently according to the data, but I didn't feel it.
The coin has spoken.
Something told me that wasn't right in this situation, and so I chose to do most of the things exactly how I wanted to do them because I felt like those were the right things. As one example, this is the prime example of what sabermetric and analytical people think. Like, your feelings are irrelevant here when you're playing blackjack. And it said, as one example, there were some who didn't think it would be smart to bat rookie Jeremy Pena second. I just felt that was the right thing to do, batting him in front
of
Jordan.
Who said that? No, I never said that.
He singled you out, John Granato, he says.
That's it.
Much like I did with Rich Aurelia in front of Barry Bonds, which is another thing you used to complain about all the time, is Rich Aurelia.
Yeah, I just... Man, Rich Aurelia in front of Barry Bonds. Are you stupid, Dusty?
But he said this. Baker also went in...
Wait a minute. Jeremy Pena, and the Astros record when Jeremy Pena batted second was unbelievably
good.
Now,
I do remember there was some pushback at the time because...
I remember talking about this going, well, if he's the two-hole hitter and we win games, why would you bitch about this?
But during the season, when you had the lineup you had with Bregman, you had Tucker, you had Altuve, like, there was a question at that time, why is a rookie here? That was talked about because things were really good. You got to bitch about something.
Yeah, I know I didn't bitch about that.
Well,
I didn't. Well,
I'm not done with your part.
Uh-huh.
Baker also went in depth of one of the most polarizing decisions in his final season with Houston, sticking with Martin Maldonado over rookie Yiner Diaz.
Yeah,
despite the latter's better offensive numbers, I believed in Maldi because I needed him. I needed a catcher who was on par with me as a field general. And Maldi was a guy who could call players-only meetings when it was needed. I knew Diaz would be an all-star one day. In my opinion, it wasn't time. His day had not yet arrived to be everyday catcher. There's so much to learn to master catching at the big league level, controlling the tempo of the game, getting all the signs from the manager, knowing when to take a timeout, not losing focus behind the plate. When you just struck out with the bases loaded in the last inning, it's a lot for a young catcher to learn all of that and try to win a World Series. And the postseason is not the time to be learning on the job.
It wasn't the postseason. It was the whole season. By the way, I don't take no orders from Dusty, okay? And I and everybody else, he was frustrating AF because he was being – it was
– How did that season
The coin end? Has spoken.
How did that season end, John?
With a World Series title?
Yeah.
Boom.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He said, here's your fake ring that I got you. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Just, I got my fake ring.
Gave you multiple.
You guys were asking for gratitude. That's what Dusty's asking from you. Just give me your gratitude.
Well, he did tell us all we would thank him later.
For Yiner.
And look at Yiner now.
Well,
if he'd have had more at bats then, maybe he'd be a better hitter now.
He wouldn't be injured if he had more at bats?
Well, but before he got injured, wasn't very good.
Well,
wasn't very good. If he had more at bats as a rookie, maybe he'd have been a better hitter now.
Dusty brought you a World Series title. Just pay him his respect.
I do. I put some respect on him.
Just say thank you and all this other stuff you're saying don't matter. Yeah. Just say thank you.
About how Jose Altuve, he said, I came to admire him because all he did was just take it, you know, the abuse. Yeah. He said, Jose Altuve was not only one of my favorites as a player, but also as a person. Pound for pound, he was the baddest dude in the land and a model of perseverance. He summed up the character of that team, built on perseverance, belief, and staying positive. We felt like we knew we were going to get our destination because Jose believed, and he's the one that set the tone. He also said that he was the one that he fought for James Click to keep his job.
Yeah.
He said, even though we didn't see eye to eye, he said he fought for James Click.
Mm-hmm.
That was surprising to see.
That was a little surprising since, yes, they didn't see eye to eye. I think the Yiner thing might have been one of the things they didn't see eye to eye on. And James Click was right about it. But listen, if Jim Crane ain't having you, you're out. Beat it. It was 1940s. One general manager got axed after winning a World Series because he apparently had some all drunken altercation with a reporter, and a Yankee general manager got fired. But otherwise, without a drunken outburst, this is the first general manager that's ever lost his job after winning a title, James Click. So it was a little weird. Let's get Elliot in here. What's up, Elliot?
Hey, sports guys, had a What Are the Odds Wednesday question for you, but I'm actually going to change gears because I just finished the
Michael Jackson documentary, and I'm really intrigued to know y'all's feedback, if you've seen it.
I've seen it.
Because I thought he was obvious. Okay, he's obviously guilty in my eyes. I was a little younger around that time, so wasn't really watching the news media and following it in live action. But now looking back and puzzling all that, I just don't know how he got away with all that. So I'm curious. Well, I do know, I guess, being a celebrity. But I'm really curious y'all's feedback, and do y'all see it the same way, or do you agree with how things played out?
I was shocked. Well, first of all, the juror that was interviewed, and some of the things.
Oh, you've seen this doc?
I've seen the doc.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen. Oh. I saw Finding Neverland.
So,
and I remember reading all the stories.
So you got to watch this, and you'll be like, I honestly don't know how they came to the opinion that he was not guilty. The defense attorney did a really great job, but you can see through that. I mean, yes, there were sketchy people who testified against him.
Was this civil or criminal?
This was criminal.
Okay.
This was criminal. And there were, you know, the prosecuting attorneys didn't do a great job. They put some people on the stand that they shouldn't have. But I was shocked. And the thing that's going to get you is all the people standing outside the courtroom that are screaming, Michael's innocent. They don't – that you're blinded. And this is in politics today. It's in this documentary. It was the same with OJ. You're just blinded because of your fandom. It is so amazing to me that people are just so swayed and so passionate for something that they know nothing about.
But that was years ago when it happened.
Well, yeah, but it's still to this day.
No, I was saying, I mean, you're saying to this day.
Yeah.
I mean, that was years ago. Michael was, and that was really that people just want to believe. That happens with people you love.
Yeah.
The people you love.
Just because Michael like his music.
I know, but you've also got to look at the kids who are involved too. I mean, I remember.
When you watch it, you're going to. I'm guaranteeing.
I don't need to watch. I watched Finding Neverland, but I read all the stories that were out there, all the accounts. A big problem was the parents were complicit.
Yeah, but you just.
The parents had their kids going off to live with Michael Jackson.
You just said that you watch documentaries and series, and now you're saying you read? Which one is it, Lance?
Well, that's true. I read short articles.
Well, I got some for you.
Did you see the Michael Jackson?
No. It might be something that I get to. Michael Jackson, The Verdict, I believe is what the name of it on Netflix.
I don't even know if I want to watch it because I already know.
It's so.
Like, to me, Michael Jackson.
Well, I knew the whole story, too, but it's.
I think Michael had an issue with.
You think?
You know, he had an issue.
Yeah.
Well, let me give you guys
something.
See what you guys think.
It's not great.
On a different TV show. There's this TV show on Hulu, just dropped all six episodes. It's a dark comedy based. It's set in the UK called Alice and Steve. Alice and Steve are best friends.
Yeah.
Steve breaks up with his girl. Alice's daughter, who's 26, breaks up with her boyfriend.
Girl, yeah.
And Steve winds up sleeping with Alice, the daughter of his best friend, who's a woman. I'm watching. It's funny. It has Jermaine Clement from what we do in the Shadows.
Flight of the Conchords.
And the Flight of the Conchords. And I was thinking to myself, if it was Alan and Steve, this would be a two-episode show. Because Alan kills Steve in the first episode, and then the trial is in the second episode, and then the season is over.
And that's it.
Yes. But instead, it's Alice and Steve, and it's the back and forth of how does this mom deal with the fact that her male best friend of like over 25 years decided to start a relationship with her daughter. And it's got all the UK comedy, and it's pretty funny. I just know that you have to make it a woman and a man, because if it's two guys, that guy's getting killed.
right. You're not putting...
It's on Hulu.
One of my... Yeah. Like, if Chad started dating Frankie...
Murdering Chad. You're murdering
him. You would
him.
Not murder Chad.
Well, he might consider it.
You would not murder Chad.
No, I would...
You just married into a private jet.
No.
Be pragmatic.
Think about it, John.
Yeah, no. I'm not. No, Chad is not dating.
Yeah,
Frankie. It's not happening.
It's not happening.
That's never ever.
They're playing
happening.
It for laughs, and it's funny. I'm only through two episodes, but I was just thinking, it had to be a woman and a man.
Yeah.
You can't have it. It can't be allowed.
No,
the other way.
No guy would. No. Your best buddy is dating your daughter?
No.
Ugh.
No.
That is just awful. Mm-mm. No. So it's funny? It's good?
Yes. Alice and Steve. It's on Hulu.
That's good? Yeah. All right. I'll have to watch it. All right.
What We Do in the Shadows is a phenomenal movie. A TV show is pretty good, too. It actually is. I didn't want to give it because We Do in the Shadows is a movie.
I thought it was
movies.
A series. I thought it was a.
No, the movie is. It's Taika Waititi is the dandy, is the 17th century dandy or whatever. The movie is incredible. It is a great movie, but the series is good too.
Yeah.
They actually did a good job with the series. The movie's better, but the movie is one of my. It's a mockumentary about these vampires who live in a flat, and it's
One's sloppy and one's
It is like
one's an energy vampire. Yeah.
There's no energy vampire.
All the energy.
It's in the TV show, I believe.
In the TV show, the energy vampire is great because he's just some guy who can have a conversation with you at the cubicle and you're because you've been around people like this. You know who was like that? Who was the guy that used to say, I'm a real man and I wouldn't even I'm a guy's guy and I wouldn't even talk
you
about
you want to name
Craig
this guy?
Seaman, right?
Oh, what's wrong with you?
What?
I don't know what you're talking about.
That person still lives in the lie. Let's move on.
HRP is what we're talking about.
What's wrong with
though?
You?
What?
Well, I'm just saying that's how John went to Greece for like 2 weeks, and I felt like I had an energy vampire.
Stop! You're
I'm
a bad person.
To be an honest, transparent person.
You had no reason to do that.
That's
like it's,
when I watched that character, I'm like, I felt
you
like that.
Got
once
no
in my life.
Reason. You had no reason to.
Don't. What is wrong with
like
you?
If we tell
nothing personal?
Because we tell
nothing
it's
personal.
You just called him an energy vampire. What's wrong with you?
Nothing personal.
For me personally, when
Stop
I was doing
it.
The show.
Like, if we do the stories about in the past when John's yelling at Bill Lewis, okay, whatever. That's
what
John.
Why are you guys all of a sudden doing a name?
That's John doing something.
You don't care if I do but Droopy Dog with Bob Lewis.
But that's you being ridiculous. That's you doing a voice. That's you. That's another guy. Who we won't name.
Whitehead listens to the show.
You did the voice, though.
Whitehead listens to the show.
So. I didn't do what John Whitehead.
That's John. You're doing the Whitehead.
Hey. I'm doing the Whitehead.
Whitehead used to just, I've got to do this commercial for, I got to record a commercial. You have bullet points. Just look at the website. Just basically summarize just whatever's on the website.
Now it's getting going to a bad place.
Oh, my God. He named.
Well, and then you did it too.
No, but that's different. I didn't call him an energy
vampire.
Well,
that's true. You took a shot at it like a civilian. Honestly.
What are you?
Honestly, it's a little much.
Yeah.
You crossed the line.
What are you talking about? Yeah. I can't believe you.
You got his number.
You got little.
You should apologize.
You should apologize. You need to apologize.
He's out of our circle.
Felt like it was an energy
that man's
vampire.
Out there trying to earn a living.
He's out of our circle.
I'm saying when I did a show. That's how I felt.
Like he wasn't really part of the inner circle. Like Whitehead and Bob Lewis in some ways. And whatever. But that's wrong on your part. You should apologize.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. You know what? Maybe HRP call him.
Perhaps.
Now, what is it about, naming employees, and talking bad about them? Well, not even behind their back, on the radio. I think that HR should step in.
When you stab him in the front,
that's right.
HR should step in.
It's just as bad as in the back. Okay? So if you're looking for the best way to take care of HR problems, then all you need is HRP. Listen. So you got an admin company, right? And you go, oh, we're fine. Look at we've got this admin company. They take care of everything. They're taking care of our HR. They're taking care of our payroll. They're taking care of our taxes. They're taking care of our 401ks. They're taking care of our insurance plan. They're taking care of all of our stuff, all our benefits packages. Oh, yay, yay. Well, take a look at what you're paying for that admin company, okay? Well, they gave us a discount on the payroll. Well, they gave you a discount on the payroll. It's like when you go to a burger joint. Oh, we got a burger for $1, but then the fries are $4 and the Coke is $5. Okay. Now all of a sudden you spent what you should have spent anyway. That's what they do at the admin company. They're getting you in with a low payroll and then they're charging you out the wazoo for all this other stuff. Take a look at what you're doing. Let HRP come and take a look at your business and how they can save you money. It's what they do. You're looking for the best way to get that payroll and HR and everything else to your people. HRP.net. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I was just listening to Feinbaum talk about the Soresby thing.
Yeah, it's not as much sports on the show. Today. We even get a call like, what do you guys think about Michael Jackson? You think he was a pedophile? I didn't expect that call today.
No, but it's a good doc. It's a good doc. You should watch it. You should watch it. It's got a lot of stuff that I yeah, I knew the story.
You
but
saw
a lot of
Finding
stuff
Neverland, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But this was Martin Bashir is in it, and he
Mike was running around with Gary Emmanuel Lewis as a pet for a while.
Yeah.
Even then, I thought, well, this is different, but it's the 80s. We just take everything at face value. Like, he's just friends. That's why he's carrying around Emmanuel Lewis. Just carrying him around. Him and Brooke Shields.
Friends.
Him and Brooke Shields and Liz Taylor just hanging out together. He's buying the elephant man's bones. And, like, none of it. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't as cynical then. We weren't as cynical people in the 80s. It was... Well, like Liberace, like
no, but
is
we
Liberace
all
gay?
Knew.
He's never said it. He said he's straight. I got to trust him.
But we all knew, though. I mean,
well, I didn't know he was a pedophile. Michael Jackson was a pedophile.
You didn't?
I just thought he was a weirdo.
No, I think
I just thought he was a weirdo. I didn't think about that stuff back then. Not really, except whenever if you went into a bike store like Arnold and his friend did, and in Different Strokes,
a very special
edition. Different Strokes, where him and his friend went to the bike store and then the, you know.
Tried to.
And the bike store owner was the same guy who was the head of WKRP in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Not the same actor.
Right, but same guy.
Yeah. And I was like, well, that guy's trustworthy. He ran that kooky WKRP in Cincinnati. Now he's got a bike shop.
Yeah.
You can trust him, Dudley.
Mm-mm.
I won't trust
you
him.
You were
Dudley.
Wrong. You were wrong about
a
that.
A very special episode.
That's why it was a very special.
I learned a lesson that day on a very special episode. Like, when's the funny stuff? When is the part? When is he going to say what you talking about, Willis? Why is he making Dudley take his shirt off? What kind of weird ass show is this? Very special episodes, right?
Where they always
like deliver. White Shadow, when somebody ended up getting somebody pregnant. I'm like, well, this isn't funny anymore.
Right. Well, White Shadow was rarely funny.
Actually, yeah, White Shadow wasn't that funny. No. White Shadow was awesome. It wasn't awesome, but at the time I thought it was awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, you had, you know, that white coach trying to teach all these lessons, you know, in an inner city school. And you know what? And it all, you know, it ended up where we all learned a good lesson there. We all a very special white shadow edition. Yeah, we all learned a big lesson, though. That's right. That's right. We learned to love each other. That's what we learned.
Okay. That lesson didn't stick.
Yes, it did. Stuck with all of America.
You just heard Lance in that last
segment. There's no racial division in
this
country anymore.
Forget about racial division. You just heard Lance in that last segment. What are you talking about?
Well, what did I do in the last segment?
That wasn't a sign of love.
Well, that wasn't a racial thing, though.
No, I just made a comment that some
Lance
sometimes,
hates Whitey.
No, we were talking about you know, What We Do in the Shadows, a movie that was turned into a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said I've run into an energy vampire before.
And
that's all I said.
No, then you name that energy vampire.
I just
vampire.
Feel like it has
that
more man's context.
Trying to earn a living.
I didn't want somebody
talking
to think
Big
I was
Ten.
Talking about, you know, Adam or Matt. Now that I think about it, I did shows with two different Matts and two different Adams.
Mm-hmm.
At 790.
Yeah, you didn't mention the bald. You said Sala and D'Amico. You didn't mention Adam.
Well, though. He didn't call. I don't think he finds them handsome.
Well, you.
I don't.
You
find,
don't know.
I don't find.
You don't know.
So D'Amico,
he never said it.
Well, I can't. First of all, I'm secure enough that I can say D'Amico is a handsome
man,
handsome, strong leader.
And
of
we
men.
Know how
That's
you feel
okay.
about.
Yeah. He's a married man. I'm a married. I don't care.
And we know how you feel
I'm
about
saying,
Josh Pate.
And
you
Josh
loved,
Pate's very good at his job. And he's got a beautiful wife.
Yeah.
Who? I don't think she was an athlete, but anyway.
I just know you find bald men very appealing.
Yeah.
I don't. Those,
that's why I'm surprised he's still not with Adam Clanton.
But Clanton, he wasn't bald at the time.
No, now he is, though.
But now he is.
Yeah, Ben Lance is like, I have regrets.
You guys are so weird. You guys are literally the weirdest. And then here you guys are with like, oh, don't say Craig's name.
I didn't make fun. I'm not making fun
Johnson
of Adam
literally
Clayton.
Putting a whole name out there.
I'm not making fun of him.
Instead of saying, oh, don't say Craig's name.
Well, no. But your attraction to bald men.
Who knows who that is?
We're talking about your attraction to bald men.
Yeah. I'm not attracted to them. I said D'Amico's the leader of men.
You're attracted to their charisma.
Who?
Their D'Amico? Confidence. And Josh.
And Josh Pay?
And Robert Saleh. You've had good words.
I think Josh is one of the – so does ESPN. They just gave him a $15 million a year contract.
This isn't about
what about Pat McAfee?
Gay or anything.
Pat McAfee got $60
million.
Yeah, he got $60
million. It's basically just
– $60 million a year.
Have you seen how many shows they have Pat McAfee and Stephen A. on?
Did you – I was watching the – I'm watching Pat McAfee the game the other night.
He's doing a simulcast,
yes,
too.
And I didn't know – I didn't realize that. I'm like – You're not as, this is dude, not as good. Who's doing this? It's not Mike Breen. What am I watching here?
You're on the wrong ESPN.
And I'm hearing Big Perk on there, and I'm like, wait,
this can't be the broadcast.
They had Pat McAfee doing a simulcast for
he
basketball.
He does the simulcast of the game.
So, basketball?
Yes, and he does it for football. You already know. Yeah. Now he's doing it for basketball. That's why I'll say, they may give McAfee and Stephen A. a bunch of money. They are on every event. They are. At every event.
Well, the problem is I gave him ratings, and I didn't even realize it. I didn't know what I was watching. I just said, oh, here's the game. And then all of a sudden, I'm listening, and I'm like, this is not as good.
Why is that a problem?
Because it's not as good.
Why is that a problem giving him ratings?
Good.
Why is it a problem giving him ratings?
Well, now we got $60 million because of it.
Well,
okay.
Talk to Wendy.
I accidentally was watching him.
That's Wendy's job to slow
down. I think a lot of people are watching him accidentally. Okay, thinking,
well,
oh, this is the game.
A lot of people like them, too. But, yeah, no, they pay McAfee and they pay Stephen A. Smith, and it's like those two get money. But they are – I will give them credit, man. They work more than anybody I have ever seen.
Yeah.
More than I have ever seen.
Yeah. They are – well, I'm watching them interview UFC, Topuria and Gaethje.
Yeah.
They're fighting?
They're the headliners.
Oh,
the
my
co-headliners,
God.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a good fight if it goes down. It's probably going to go down. There's somebody seeking an injunction to stop the fight.
Is this the White House?
Yeah, yeah. Somebody seeking an injunction to stop the fight, but you just never, after Sorsby.
What's the injunction for?
I'd have to go look at it, but it has to do with there weren't the right processes followed to utilize the space or something.
Okay.
It's obviously not a small.
No.
It's obviously it's a larger venue. So they were saying they bypassed a lot of stuff that they were supposed to go.
Do you know how hard it is to going to get to how long it's going to take to get in to this?
I don't even know if they're selling tickets. I don't know how any of that stuff works.
Oh, that'll be
I've
packed.
I've got Paramount
that'll
Plus.
Be packed.
I just, if I watch, I'm going to watch on that.
There's one thing about, like, Trump got booed the other night. Okay, at a basketball game, it's a different deal at UFC. Those people love him. Love Trump.
Well, why do you
he
think
gets
he's
a standing O every
why do you
time
think
he
he's
goes.
He's having an event there.
Yeah,
the
right.
House.
Right. I mean, it's
I
gonna
know
be.
They're gonna like me.
They love me. Oh, the UFC is the best because they
booed,
all love me.
If he gets booed at a UFC at the White House,
good luck.
That is taken up.
No. Oh my God.
That's everyone. That's Jimmy Williams getting booed at the All-Star game when he was the manager here.
Is that's
no.
That's
no,
Sunday?
No, nothing like that. He will not get booed. He'll get. Are you kidding? They're going to love him.
So is that's Sunday? Is that what
it's
it is?
The 14th,
Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be
it's
locked.
It's a Sunday fight. They don't usually do this.
I'm locked in on World Cup. We got two matches during that time.
Oh, I no. might be too.
I'm watching the World Cup. I hope it goes too, well for T's and P's.
Actually, wait a minute. I may be
everyone.
At the game.
No, it's Ivory. It's not here. It's Ivory Coast and Ecuador and Philly and then Sweden and Tunisia. I don't think those are the games you're going to. The Germany-Curacao game is early.
No, I'm going to June 20th, Netherlands-Sweden.
Oh, you got tickets to that one?
Yeah. I ended
up you got Netherlands-Sweden? Mm-hmm. How'd you get those?
Paid money.
Oh.
What
wow.
do you think?
That's wow.
Paid a price?
I'm paid
not,
a, paid a,
so,
I'm
not doing all that.
Paid a steep price.
Yeah. Noon at NRG.
I got an invite
or
to
Reliant at this time, at this
a
point.
Party for the event.
Cape Verde and...
But I'm not doing
Saudi
that
Saudi Arabia.
You're not even going to a World Cup party?
No, it's June 23rd. I won't be here.
Okay.
Yeah. So, there's a World Cup party, watch party that I got an invite to. Nah. No, thank you. I'll just watch on TV. Glenn Davis starts tomorrow.
Yeah, Glenn Davis will join us at 8 o'clock. Brought to everyone by Kaplan Sinus Relief, right?
Yeah.
So he'll be here every weekday going forward to talk about the World Cup. He'll be able to preview Mexico and in South Africa, which opens up the tournament. And then also, you know, on Friday, he'll be able to preview the U.S.
Your boy,
as they open them their tournament.
Yeah. Your boy, Doc Kaplan, he's on with Jeff Blum. Did you see that commercial with him driving in a car?
They're in the car, yeah.
I'm like, Doc Kaplan, he's going to do you and the biggest names in sports.
Yeah.
You and Jeff Blum.
And then lesser names in sports.
Yeah.
Me and then, you know, Blum.
And then,
hit a World Series home run.
Ruined
the series for the White Sox.
Yeah. I mean, we were going to win that series if not for that.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, so other than getting swept.
Next Friday, I'm going in to have my procedure.
Wow.
I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. Join ESPN 97.5 for our soccer watch parties this Thursday and Friday. We watch the biggest soccer games of the year. Will Kunkel and then Jeremy and Joe will be broadcasting from 12 to 6 at Rodeo Goat on Thursday, and then some of the same crew on Friday at Patterson Park. Join the same crew. Not some of it. It's the same crew. The ESPN 97.5 watch parties are brought to you by Huntington Bank. All right. Breaking it here. You want to get in? Let's go. 713-780-3776. I got a career for you. An opportunity. The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 66 in Houston, they want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
For over 25 years, IBEW Local 66 has supported the skilled men and women who build, maintain, and operate our electrical grid. We got one of the electrical grids right here, and we've got they got 4,800 members, okay? A community. It's built on craftsmanship, safety, and opportunity. And it's actually not a job. It's a career, okay? And they are going to pay you paid on-the-job training, classroom learning, nationally recognized career in as little as 3 to 5 years. If you're at a dead-end job, if you're not heading towards a retirement plan, if it's hard for you to get insurance, all of these things are part of this career at IBEW Local 66. You're looking for the best way to get out of whatever you're doing now that you don't love, and will love, IBEW66.com. IBEW66.com. Powering careers, powering the future.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Spurs at Knicks tonight, 7:30. That's going to be fun. I mean, the Knicks finally lost the game. And, you know, they had no answer. They were up 64-57 at the half and didn't score and didn't get 50 in the second. I think they scored 47. Yeah, they only scored 20 in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their quarter. The Spurs won the fourth quarter, which is the Knicks quarter, and that was the difference and that's changed the whole series. What do you see tonight?
I think the Knicks come out much more focused. I see this as a Knicks game. I mean, for all the focus that you had from I don't think there's going to be anything that you do X's and O's wise that's going to either you're going to make Castle shots harder or you're not. Either you're going to keep Wemby, you know, either you're going to challenge him on the mid-range stuff, you're going to keep him from getting to the basket, or you're not. I think from the other side, you really need to have a better shooting performance from Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson has very quietly had some real problems shooting, especially from three. He was 3 of 5 in the last game. But Brunson has really shot the ball poorly from three for a while now. For a couple series, he shot it really, really poorly. So I think from a Knicks standpoint, it's a matter of making sure you get on the boards and win the battle of the boards. And then you've got to... You can't let the tempo get away from you. The Spurs like to get into early offense and play faster. Now, you know, it's not been – you see the first two games that were wins for the Knicks, look at the scores in those two games. And then the game where the Spurs, who are a tempo team, when they win the game, look at the score in that one. It's really a matter of you've got to keep this game in the low 100s. if you're the Knicks. If you're the Knicks, if you get to 110, you should win this game. So I think it's just about making sure you turn it into a feisty game and you slow down their early offense. You want them working out of the half court. In my opinion, you've got a better – the Knicks are a better half court team – are going to be a better half court team than the Spurs are going to be. So whoever can win the battle of tempo, I think that's going to be key. Have you ever noticed that we get a lot of Mike Brown talking?
Yeah.
But we don't get a lot of Mitch Johnson talking?
Yeah, no.
We see very little Mitch Johnson at the podium. That guy's a great coach, obviously. But we get all the Mike Brown sound. I never hear Mitch Johnson talking.
I don't know what kind of soundbite
it is. It's all Wimby. Wimby, what did you think about people getting beat up in the streets? I think it's bad, and it's a game, and we shouldn't beat up everybody. And that's when I realized, like, why are we going to this 22-year-old for everything? He's not a terrible speaker, but he's not great. Wimby's kind of average. Wimby, I don't want him to be the go-to for everything. I don't know who the Spurs have who is their go-to order. Like, we could stick Steven Adams in front of a microphone or Fred VanVleet and even Kevin Durant and be golden. Those guys know how to answer questions. Steven Adams might be one of the most interesting people in the whole league.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be a problem. I don't know who the Spurs have. They're a young team. I don't know if any of those guys are great speakers. Landry Shamet is really good. Brunson is pretty good. Karl Anthony Towns is okay. Sassy, but okay.
That's disrespectful.
Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
But the Spurs, they only talk to, it's Wimby.
Yeah, they probably, the local, we don't watch it as much. No, the national media is
national,
not.
National, that's all I
say. They're not catching on to De'Aaron Fox sound or Castle sound or, no, they don't care. Vassell, they don't care. They don't care about that. That's just Wimby. What did Wimby say? And we have to run with that because he's a French accent. That's what we have to do.
No, yeah. Don't open the NRG roof for the World Cup. Somebody just put that in the tweet. No,
it's 1,000 degrees. Did you guys hear Mike Brown's? I think we had it for a while, didn't we, Del? Mike Brown's sound about his coaching style or what? How he? It was a really, really good soundbite about, I have to change. I have to adjust. I have to. Depending on who's in the game, it was a really good soundbite. Mike Brown, has he changed your attitude? Mike Brown was thought the only reason he won was because he had LeBron.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Mike Brown is probably a pretty good coach.
Yeah.
He has changed
Mike Brown opinion. Is going to have I was, I thought Mike Brown, that's a hire. Okay. I mean, you're just trying to put a guy in there after, but he was the right guy for this. There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
After Tibbs can only take him so far because of how hard he worked him, and Mike Brown is not doing that.
Mike Brown's own comments he meets the players where they are.
That's right.
So he said with Karl Anthony Towns, he did. Some of it starts feeling kind of soft, like, well, Karl wasn't comfortable with this, and then Karl and then I made changes, and then Karl still had this, and I made changes. I'm like, come on, Mike, what are we doing? And then, the more he talks, he said, but then he got to a place where he was comfortable with what I, we were on the same page. He was comfortable with what I was asking. The reality is, and this is why I think Jeff Van Gundy would probably have a hard time getting back in as a head coach. It has changed. And you do have to meet, you hope that you have great leaders on the team who can, who can be coaches kind of. See, we're lucky we have a Will Anderson.
Yeah.
And to a lesser extent, a C.J. Stroud. C.J. still kind of wants things. I think he's still, like I said, he's a little picky with his food, what he wants on his hamburger and what he doesn't. But Will Anderson is one of those guys who, I know where I got this. I'll make sure everything's right in the locker room, coach. Don't worry about it. If you get one of those guys in basketball, you're golden. And he has to be a really high up because you can't have a heavy hand in the NBA anymore. I mean, you can try. Kelvin Sampson, that'll work in college. But even more and more, it doesn't work in college because players will just portal out. So if you hurt their feelings, they'll just portal. And that's that. Frankly, it's shocking that Kelvin has had this long a run because Kelvin Sampson does not half step. If he's got something to tell you, he's going to tell you.
You're going to work your ass off too now.
And I hope you're going to be okay with it because if you're not, you can get on. But guys, stay here.
Well, But Kelvin Sampson also picks the right parents.
Why can't we get why can't you reach out to your contacts and get Kelvin Sampson in studio with us?
Well, I can do that.
Okay, why haven't we done that?
I don't.
He's too busy on tour.
Yeah, he
is. Not John, Kelvin Sampson.
What do you mean on tour?
He is.
He's trying to get the people motivated to spend.
And get a PJ.
What do you mean he's on tour?
He is going around having
we need money
talks and with people saying we need money.
Did you see his when he first took over the job at U of H? Have you ever seen those videos where he would go to the cafeteria to try to get students to come to the game?
Yeah.
Did you ever see that video?
Yeah.
It was disconcerting, but also telling of what you have to do at U of H, especially a program that had fallen on hard times for as long as it had, but also what Kelvin Sampson was willing to do grassroots. But I don't think you can coach like that in the NBA anymore. I just don't think you can. The players make way more than you do, way more. And they know that they can exert. A lot of them have grown up in AAU. They've grown up in, you know, let's just be real. I mean, pampered. They have a lot of, they've been given a lot of advantages and opportunities. And all along the way, there hasn't been a lot of pushback for some of the players.
You can't coach like that anymore because there are none of those coaches out there anymore. The closest thing is Ime.
Yeah.
I mean, Tibbs is gone. Van Gundy's gone. I mean, the taskmasters are done.
Yeah.
They can't get a job anymore.
What's the reason? Because the players don't want a taskmaster.
Yeah.
So Mike Brown's a guy who obviously is a good X's and O's coach, but he understands the personality angle, and that's important for NBA. You don't have to like it. I don't always love it, but it's necessary. You have to respect it. You have to respect that somebody has, because you got a bunch of tough guys with the Knicks. They play hard. I mean, the Spurs play hard.
Yeah.
The Spurs play hard, too. And honestly, the Spurs have not, there's not been a Spurs basketball, even though you don't, you know, even though you had for years and years, you had Popovich, Spurs basketball still feels like it's from that Popovich tree. With Mitch Johnson, and Mitch was from there, right? And Ime is from there, so it shouldn't surprise you. And Mitch is 39 years old. Maybe it's easier to get coached up hard from a 39-year-old, but I think coaching hard is different. It's not just getting screamed at anymore. Coaching hard is just being demanding accountability, but it doesn't necessarily mean screaming and yelling and all that. That's not necessarily the sign of coaching hard now.
You know, what's neat is you see these videos of Greg Popovich showing up at their practices or talking to them and how much they respect and love Greg Popovich. And none of them were coached by Greg Popovich, but they know.
And Mitch Johnson came up with the Austin Spurs as an assistant basketball coach with the G League. So he's been a Spur since 2016. So everything he does is, so they've been able to keep that same energy.
It feels a lot like Spoelstra.
It does. Yeah. And, you know, and Del House, is Spoelstra considered? He's not considered
a soft coach.
He's not considered a soft coach, is he?
No. But much
he
like.
He had to square up on LeBron one time when he was walking off the, and almost swung on LeBron.
Well, that's not true.
And beat his ass.
It was the first year they were struggling, and LeBron bumped them, and LeBron went to Riley and said, hey, get rid of this guy, and Riley said no, and that's the difference between some organizations and others.
Yeah.
We talked about the coach, but the coach is empowered by who hired him. And Riley said, no, figure it out. And how many executives will do that to a player now? Say, this is our guy. You guys got to work it out. You're grown men. That's how the Heat operate. Spoelstra's not
good on him.
Yeah, Spoelstra's not a hard ass, but he's from the Riley school. He's adapted because he's a more modern type of a coach. But there's a standard, and you got to reach that standard. And some coaches can't enforce that because the organizations won't back them. And that's the difference.
You know, Kirby Smart is from the Knick tree. But Kirby's got a little more love him up. Like, Kirby's a love him up guy. Dan Lanning is from the Kirby tree. And Dan Lanning, I don't know if he ever coached under Saban directly, but Dan Lanning also has an understanding of how to deal
Kirby
with
needs
players.
To be a take the keys away guy. That's what he needs
yeah,
to be.
He does. Yeah. But Nick Saban right now, it would be hard for Nick Saban has a lot of the same Kelvin Sampson type stuff.
It was ironic that Georgia's assistant athletic director was
I know.
I mean, killing Texas Tech for...
We're not going to schedule anymore. We cannot stand for this. Like, Georgia, y'all got to... You can feel that way.
You sit this one out,
Georgia. You got to sit it out, Georgia.
Sit this one out. Ducky McSweeney's All right. It's a place on Post Oak. If you've never been there, it's right next to Maggiano's. It's cool. It's named Ducky McSweeney's. How cool is that? TVs all the way around. Okay. Great bar. The food is really, really good. Okay. They're happy. Their happy hour, think 6 until 6. $6 pitchers of beer. $6 house wines by the glass. $6 Wells. $6 mozzarella sticks, nachos, chicken tenders, cheese pizza. Ducky's happy hour is daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. $6. $6. Okay? And I've been there. I've watched a Super Bowl there. I've watched Rockets playoff games there. One of the things is they got the sound on and you can hear. It's great. It's great. I love a good sports bar. You know I love a good sports bar. I've been in a bunch of them. My boy, Nick, has had one forever. Ducky's, Michael, and what he's done there, excellent. Excellent as well. And their pizza is amazing. Wings are incredible. They got a sushi bar right next door, the sister restaurant right there. So if you're, you know, my wife loves going there, which is not easy to get the ladies there, but the food is really good. They got sushi. And you're going to love Ducky McSweeney's. Remember the happy hour, 6 until 6. Ducky McSweeney's on Post Oak, north of Westheimer, next to Maggiano's. Ducky McSweeney's.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
What? Oh, how awesome.
Steve just sent a...
How about this? Growth spurt.
Yeah, Steve
Coors sent a... Coors Light growth spurt. That's
three
awesome.
Cans. So what it is, John's pretty excited about this. Coors Light unveiled an 18-inch taller boy canister that holds and insulates three stacked 12-ounce cans. Oh, so it's just... Okay, so all it is...
It's a cooler.
It's just a canister. It's a cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not... I thought we had 36 inches of... Or 36 ounces of...
We do.
Of beer.
We still do.
Well, yeah. Well, you have 20. Yeah, 36 fluid ounces.
Three cans
in
there.
You do, but you got to take your can out.
Yeah.
But you get to keep three with you insulated. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Actually, you should get one of these.
I'm going to get 12.
You don't have to do that.
Well, that's 36
beers.
Well,
can you just put them back? Well,
and that'll be a good day. We'll have a good day then.
You're not drinking 36 beers.
Oh, well, me and Andre the Giant, we can.
Yeah.
You don't know. You don't have any idea how many beers I can drink. And I'm going to try for it today.
You don't have to try for it. You don't try to always have to go for records.
You do. Well... And you don't have to, but
no.
If I'm going to have a fulfilling life, that's what I do. Okay, that's right. So you
moderation
live your life the
is
way
the
you
thing
want,
you don't and you I'll don't live mine the way subscribe to, huh?
Okay, you live your life with a bunch of bald men, and I'll drink.
He doesn't live with
lives.
Them. He just has.
I live my life with my family who are at home, and that's pretty much. And my dogs, and that's pretty much it. I like this solitude. Every once in a while, Solis and I will go watch a sporting event or a comedy show at Smart Financial. And then an occasional concert, and then we'll go to – I don't even go to restaurants as much anymore.
John, you got it all wrong. He doesn't live with the bald men. He's infatuated with the bald men.
No. I do have strong feelings for D'Amico Rines. Y'all do have that one right. You've tried to expand it. I never put Sol
Josh
in.
Josh Pate.
I never put Sol. That's his thing. He gets very jealous of Josh
it's
Pate.
It's not my thing. It's,
no, I think everybody, thing. It's recognizable.
I'm aware. I'm not jealous. I just see that you
Meemaw,
light,
every time Josh
you light
Pate
up.
Brings up his Meemaw saying something, you get so mad.
Meemaw's funny.
You know, Meemaw
I just noticed you light up. Like that caller said.
It's good college football talk.
That caller said that about me when we talk about movies and television.
Yeah.
When you know Josh is coming on, you get it's a little spring in your step.
Listen,
that's all.
Listen, I kind of slobber on him too.
Okay? Well, right? I mean that's the unsaid thing.
He's really, really good.
That's the unsaid thing.
You guys are able to continue to slobber on him because you take turns.
Right. Right. Right.
When one guy's doing it, the other guy can breathe, and then the other guy does it, and then the other guy can breathe.
You know, you're one to talk.
Yeah. What do you mean? Who are you going to come up with for me?
Michael Carroll.
You gotta, what?
When he starts talking about comic books.
I love Michael Carroll, but I don't.
I know.
I don't. do what Michael you guys
Carroll's
do.
Michael Carroll's going to be co-hosting with me today, guys.
I never said
we get to talk about all
that
the, not the Marvel
tone.
Universe.
That's the
exactly
tone I have.
The tone that I heard.
That's
you
not
do,
the tone
you
I
do
have.
Slobber a lot on
I you guys know I hit a I struck a chord here, and you're fighting back. I understand. But
no,
you know,
he didn't strike a chord. He's a good college football expert.
He's the best.
Just imagine.
No, we got the best in the world on with us.
We got the best in the nation.
Just,
that's, you
just
know what?
Admit that when you know Thursdays.
Great, recognized great.
When you know Thursdays are here during the football season, you guys have a little
maybe
pep in your step.
Maybe he gets in the Hall of Fame
we
like we do.
We
I
do.
Mean, you guys feel a little
We get to talk
water.
College football.
We get to talk
that's
college football.
That's not Brendan Sorsby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just glad you both love him because it would be a little weird if one of you guys couldn't take a breath.
You get so jealous of Josh Pate.
You're so jealous of Josh Pate, it's crazy.
I'm not jealous. I think you guys, as veterans, maybe show some tact and be professional.
Why are all these quarterbacks wearing GoPros on their helmets this offseason? Have you noticed this?
No.
I saw it with Jaden Daniels. I see it with Shedeur Sanders here.
Malik Willis is doing it, too.
This must be something that the NFL is going to unveil.
Well, Dolphins quarterbacks.
Eyes from a quarterback or something. They must have a show.
Well, the Dolphins quarterbacks did it under McDaniel, but now with the new regime, the other quarterback's doing it too.
Maybe it is for a sports tech that's out there where they analyze, they put the video in so that, you know, they see where your head is looking. I mean, I would want it to be a tighter window of vision to where I guess you can't do that. You have to have it because there's peripheral vision, but you really do want to. You really would like to see the head turn so that you see exactly where they're getting their reads and when they're getting their reads, and you know, because routes are designed. So route concepts are designed with you know, read one, read two, read three, and there's a timing to them. This route is run at this distance so he can get to that progression. Then this route is breaking open. That's why they have to stay on time. That's why a press cornerback that can slow a release can end up screwing up route timing. There's a lot that goes into this, but I think there's a lot of people who just think quarterbacks just look at the field and just make a decision where to go. There's certain places you look based on coverage, based on safeties. There's a timing mechanism that is involved there as well that some quarterbacks are really good at and some aren't. There's a lot that goes into getting through progressions. So that's why it's a big deal to be able to get through progressions at a good pace while still giving each look, you know. And sometimes if you know there's the coverage right off the bat, you can get away from number one and get to number two.
Mm-hmm. Talking about number one and number two. D'Amico said yesterday, offenses are going to struggle, especially against this defense. Let's hear from Matt Burke.
His defense?
So listen, I'm a little surprised Matt Burke didn't get more love this offseason because the league should know Matt Burke took over the defense and it got better.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Burke took over the defense last year.
He had an interview.
He had one? I don't remember.
He had a head coaching interview, if I remember correctly.
I'm surprised he didn't get more. Than that. I'm surprised he doesn't get nearly as much love nationally as he should. This is I mean, Mike McDonald is getting all the love in Seattle. It's his defense, right? And they won the Super Bowl, and rightfully so. The Texans didn't win the Super Bowl last year. I don't know if you heard. They did not win the Super Bowl, but not because of Matt Burke. Matt Burke was excellent when he took, and I don't think enough is made of it, that, you know, this is obviously D'Amico's design, D'Amico, the players that are picked, the type of player, you know, D'Amico's got a type that he wants on the field defensively. But Matt Burke took it to another level last year.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is yesterday talking about the philosophy that he has with this defense.
Yeah, and I would say our core philosophy at the end of the day is we want to be really good at what we do. And there's times where I don't care if you know what we're doing. Like, if we're really good at it, it doesn't necessarily matter. We got really good players, and we want to put those guys in position to play well. And sometimes, you know, like, it's not about me or Meek or anybody coming up with all these crazy exotic schemes and look how smart we are if our players can't execute and can't do what we want them to do. So we want our guys to play fast. Now, I do think, like, there's complexity in within our when you don't play a lot of coverages, you don't play a lot of like different fronts. Like, you have to have like subtleties and checks and changeups within those fronts. And so I think I don't want to say like maybe to the naked eye, there's some things missed in terms of how we just subtly structure things, that it all looks the same and you may think it's all the same, but you know, in reality, there's some different things that are happening out there. So I think that's what we try to do, is like make it all look the same. Okay, you want to come in here and think it's pretty simple, then that's great. And then when it's in real time and there's some different moving parts that don't look exactly what you think they're supposed to look like, I mean, I think that's where we get a little bit of our edge. So, you know, again, we've tried to add some new wrinkles this year. Again, we're trying to evolve and people are looking at our tape and where can we add some things and take some things away that didn't work for us and keep growing as a defense. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah, I wonder. I
like that. I don't care. You know what we're doing? That's fine. But we got better players.
Mm-hmm. But he did say we're trying to evolve and change some things on tape, so they don't.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
He did say that at the end. He said,
but he also said, "Hey, we're not. You know, oh look how smart we are. It's
execution.
It's execution. Yeah. They got really good players.
If the Texans are disciplined and physical and fast, or play fast,
do offenses catch up to the Texans this year?
I'm trying to be as open-minded as possible. I just have a hard time saying yes. I don't know why Will Anderson won't be better as a pass rusher this year now that he's in year four. Danielle Hunter doesn't show any signs of letting off the gas. You're still kind of average in the middle, but you're not bad. Your linebackers are the same. Your secondary is excellent. I mean, God forbid they would have gotten a third pass rusher, like a third legit pass rusher. Cade McDonald is a run stopper, but he'll only play certain downs. But it could help put teams behind the sticks a little bit. Like the Buccaneers probably wouldn't have had that success running the football last year if Cade McDonald was on that team.
Dylan Horton. I don't know. We don't know enough about Dylan
Solomon
Horton.
Solomon Bird. I don't see those guys. We've
well,
seen Dylan Horton.
To the point of the caller yesterday, said, why did we not sign Derek Barnett again? Why didn't we not?
I don't know. I don't know if it was a cost thing, if he didn't want to be back in Houston. I don't know. But
apparently they have. Texans cap says they have $27 million still available out there.
Of course. They can sign everybody. It's the most incredible cap I've ever seen.
Yep.
They can sign anybody they want, whenever they want, and have a bunch of money left over. I mean, they've redone a lot of deals. That's one of the reasons they have money. But, it's fascinating how they're able to manipulate the cap. And it hasn't hurt them yet in terms of credit card spending. Not yet. I haven't seen it.
Nope. You know who else has got money? Golden Nugget. And you can get some of it. Yeah, that's right. You can take some of Tillman's money. You want it? It's sitting there. It's waiting for you at the blackjack table. It's waiting for you at the craps table. It's waiting for you at Pie Gow. It's waiting for you. Is that a game? I think it's a game, Pie Gow. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, it's not a – is that food? No one knows. No one knows what that is. But I do know this, that if you're a player, Golden Nugget Lake Charles is right here. Right here. Right down the road. So easy to get to. People, you're looking for the best way to get to a casino, a Vegas-style casino, with a DraftKings Sportsbook that's awesome, 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 with all the amenities you could possibly want, all the restaurants, pool, golf, everything you could possibly need, right there, one spot, 2.5 hours down the road. So easy to get to. Driving, a tank of gas as opposed to buying plane tickets. 2.5 hours as opposed to 7 hours by the time you leave your door and get to your hotel, or 7 hours or more. So if you're looking for the best way to play and get your gamble on, all right, Todd Rundgren is coming the 20th. You got Slay coming on the 27th. It's go time. You're looking for a great place to get your gamble on. We're going to be there Monday and Tuesday. We want you to come out and join us. GoldenNuggetLC.com. GoldenNuggetLC.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home, or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.